This is the Outpouring Meeting with Dr. David Jeffries.
As some of you know, last week, I ministered on the seven strengths of God in your life. How God strengthens you seven different ways. And it was a good teaching, solid, biblically sound teaching, wasn't it, Rosita?
Yes, it was.
And if you really know, if you really want to know the ways of God, and you really want to follow, and the Lord gave me this earlier, if anyone will come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Come and follow me. And so he says, the first thing you ever do to follow me in any direction, any way, is to deny yourself. It sounds too simple. As a matter of fact, nobody will really do much more inquiring into that scripture. But the fact of the matter is, I shared on the seven strengths of God as you're operating your calling, you're strengthened by God. So what you do is you say, Father, what is my calling? And then once you come to the conclusion, I know, like Kelly Giacconi, I'm an encourager. I've got a calling to encourage people that are discouraged and disparaged. See?
And then when that happens, I'm strengthened to keep on.
But do you get it? You're proof of what was taught last week, of that first point. I'm going to rehash last week because we didn't get it recorded. And I want to use it as maybe a mini teaching, but it won't take maybe 20 minutes to rehash it. Y'all don't mind, do you? So you're strengthened. You be looking for the next point, if you will. We're strengthened in the exercise of our calling. See? So therefore, people may say, Father, I need strength. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. I'm weak. I'm defenseless. I can't really follow you as accurately because I'm just so weak in my... And the Lord says, knock it off. Here's seven ways that I strengthen you. And then you go, oh, you know, I have to sit here and complain about being weak. No. Find out what God has put in your heart to do. And in the act of doing it comes strength. That was good, wasn't it? Listen, I liked it too. I said, Lord, I got to rehash this. We didn't record it.
That is so true.
Now, so... And as Kelly says, when she's encouraging someone, she says, oh, my land's alive. I feel a strength I didn't have before I started. And we know the principle for this one, of course, is our friend Job, which I teach on about once a year, where it says, and the Lord turned Job's captivity and bondage and sickness when he prayed for his friends. And so therefore, when Job took his mind off himself and he had to have the gift of prayer. You know why? Because he prayed successfully. He prayed successfully. And so as he prayed for his friends, all of a sudden he was strengthened from the illness that he had. The weakness of the pain and suffering and everything else passed off him. And in its place, he was given by God twice the joy, twice the praise, twice the man of God that he was before. Now we know that he restored his fortunes, but that's not this. You can be in abject poverty and be a powerful voice for the Lord and a powerful force for righteousness. A couple of them go, yep, that's where I've been living for a while. But we've all had some of that. But there it is. So therefore, you need to exercise between you and God. Okay, God, as Paul said, Lord, what will you have me to do? See, on the road to Damascus. Lord, what will you have me to do? I heard old Dr. McFeeters. I was walking past the camp meeting and he was preaching and I just walking in. He had a voice that would blow the whole house down. He said, and I heard him say, And Paul says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you can hear boom, boom, just bouncing off the trees. And I remembered that. What will you have me to do? And so that is the first line of strength from God, is to find out it today. What will you have me to do in this moment? And I'm going to ask you ahead of time to forgive me for making excuses for not doing it. You understand? You never... Let your service to God shut down because of any problem you have.
Beautiful.
It's like you're in a blinding, raging rainstorm, and someone says, you need to get in out of the rain, and you're going, but I must arrive at a certain place. And so you do whatever you can to go through that storm, and you don't give up until you reach the goal, whatever it is. Adversity, you don't give up. You don't use any excuse not to do what God has originally shown you you should be doing. Because in the doing is the power of God to pave a way for you to do more of it. And in the doing is the power of God to strengthen you to a greater purpose. And not only a greater purpose, but greater fruit bearing. When my Father sees you bearing some fruit, He prunes you. And then you bear 100 times what you bore before. Come on. Don't you like the 100-fold fruit bearing? Of course you do. Because you know that's what you're judged on. That's exactly what your reward is on, based on the fruit that you have for the Lord. See? So the first one was, again, strength that comes from the task that God has given you. Now, what if it's a one-time task? What if you live all your life and God shows you to do something and you do it and then you die? Then you have obeyed God. You've done all God, wait a minute, you've done all God called you to do. There are some people that do all God calls them to do and then that's it. But they're such powerful things that they turn the whole nation, toward righteousness. I was thinking of Stephen, who God called him to forgive Israel for stoning him, but also the same words, almost identical words out of Jesus' mouth, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Stephen said, Father, do not lay this to their charge. In other words, forgive them. And so in his dying breath, his voice has resounded through the centuries from the time that was written in the 7th chapter of Acts until right now.
Wow.
And it was forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. And every time that Stephen has ever been preached on, that he was stoned calling on the Lord. Oh gosh, I like that. Wait a minute. They stoned him.
Just the opposite is just as true too.
Right.
Every time I've been out there trying to do something I think I'm supposed to be doing, but it's not what God had called me to do, it's not wrong, but I come away frustrated, exhausted,
just
worn out.
Good.
Because I didn't do it right. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing.
Okay, then you learn a lesson.
It was good stuff to do, but it wasn't the best.
It's a substitution of something good for something perfect.
Yeah.
We had a little teaching on that one time. So here we are. Stephen is there. And the Bible says, while they stoned him calling on the Lord. Do you like that? Calling on the Lord. Lord Jesus, do not hold this to their charge. And he was strengthened to be able to declare that, and strengthened in the preparation of his life and heart for eternity. Well, anyway, that's the first one. The first strength that we receive from God. There's 7-fold strengths that God has for us. 7-fold measures of strength that God has for us. And that was one of those measures. What was the second one, Rosie?
In being faithful in a few small things, strength comes for the greater things.
I like that. Ooh, I like that. Hey, if you got strength for a smaller thing, don't you need greater strength for a greater thing? See? So, if you have strength for a small thing, you need more strength to do the greater thing. But the principle that we have is that we don't just say, well, I'm so glad I was faithful for a few things here. Now God's going to make me a ruler forever. And the answer is no. No. Because the test is, will you humble yourself to the small things, being faithful over the small things? And we say, well, I already passed that test. No, no, because God's operation is from the lesser to the greater, 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 you see? And then there are tests of God that we pass the lesser. And one of the classic ones is when I shared with you all about Moses. And Moses, what's that in your hand? Oh, a rod, throw it down on the ground. But before that, we had Moses, take off your shoes. I said, take off your feet one time. Take off your shoes, because I declare the ground that you're standing on to be Wait, 5 minutes before it wasn't, until God declared it as holy ground. It's a ground of a meeting place between Moses and God. See? And so when God declared it a holy ground, Moses didn't know it. He didn't feel the ground any different. But God pointed to him and said, you're standing on holy ground. See? And so then Moses, he said, take off your shoes because the ground that you're on is on the ground. And I, in that teaching I gave you all sometime 1, 2, 3 years ago, I said, had not Moses done a simple thing like take off his shoes like God showed him, God would never have spoken anything else. God would never have used his life to the degree that he planned to use it and did use Moses' life. Because God will always, ready for this? God will always strengthen you to the smaller tasks. And when you see the faithfulness of God strengthen you, do the simple thing, take off your shoes. Anybody can take off their shoes. So God doesn't come to give you the worldwide ministry task. He comes to see if you be faithful in a small things. Then if you are, and as you are, he then causes you to be powerfully in charge or ruler over many things. See? So here comes Moses, and he takes off his shoes. And God says, what's that in your hand? He says, a rod. He says, throw it down. And when he threw it down, God strengthened the rod to become a serpent. And Moses fled from it. And then God said, pick it back up again by the tail. I don't think Moses was going, I ain't got to pick it up by the head. So he picked it up and it became a rod again. And all of those were tests from the lesser to the greater, to the lesser to the greater, you see? And so in all, if you'll read Exodus, especially Moses' story there in Exodus, if you'll read it, you'll see that all through Moses' life, there was a test from the lesser to the greater, from the lesser to the greater, from the lesser to the greater. And one of the courses I took at Asbury Seminary was English Bible. They called it English Bible. Dr. Trainer was the author of the book on English, the study of the English Bible and comparative analysis and so forth to things. And so I had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy. I had the whole Pentateuch. Mm-hmm. And then I had the book of Mark with Dr. Trainer, and it was the greatest course I ever took at Asbury Seminary. Amazing, because he made me look deep into the scriptures and made me see how this one compares to this one and so forth. But in that, I studied about Moses, and I could see the comparative analysis. I could see in one point of the book of Exodus, and then I could look that toward the end of the book of Exodus, and I saw the correlation between the beginning, the middle, and the end, and it really made sense to me like I'd never seen the scripture before. English Bible, it's called. Dr. Trainer's now gone off. Trainer's gone to heaven, and his wife went before him. So here's what we're looking at. Strength to do what?
What God's called you to do.
To do what God calls you to do. What's the second one? In other words, being strength to be faithful. So God looks at you and me. Now watch this. And he says, I have discovered what they're strong enough to do here. Because, you see, we always believe that we want to do great things. So we say to God, I want to do great things. I want to run through a troop, jump over a wall and run through a troop. And the Lord says, you can't even step up a step. You can't do anything without my strength. And so he proves that to us when we fail. When we fail and go after the wrong task, he doesn't do that to mock us and say, well, you should have listened. No. He basically says, this is what it means to fail, Dave Jeffries. Then he says, but this is what it means to successfully be strengthened by God in the smaller things. And then when you're strengthened by God in the smaller thing, it's like exercising. As you lift weights, you grow stronger. As you walk hard and fast and keep moving, you grow strong. Your legs and your lungs and everything else, heart grows stronger in that exercise.
Oh, yeah.
So here we have it, from the lesser to the greater, always a biblical principle. Can you think of one other biblical character that went from the lesser to the greater, from the lesser to the greater?
Joseph.
Joseph, yes. Joseph from the lesser to the greater. And it was a progression starting back before he ever went to prison and was ever sold into slavery. It started way back there when God anointed him to see the shocks of corn bow down to his shocks, and they were his brothers. He wasn't too smart to tell his brothers, "Hey guys, all of your shocks of corn bowed down to me." And they're going, "Oh yeah, really?" And so, but you know what? He was excited, but he didn't realize he was casting pearls before the little piggies there. And so as a result, he got in trouble because he told the facts and the truth, and he told a true vision. But later on, hold it now, you watch this, and this is good. Later on, Joseph shone brightly and was put in charge of the entire nation, next only to Pharaoh, because he did the same thing when he came before Pharaoh the first time there that he did when he was a little boy. He just told the vision, exercised his gift in the spirit. And God strengthened him in that seat to one day be able to stand before the ruler of the entire Egyptian nation. And what he said before Pharaoh then changed the course of the entire history of the world and Hebrew history by one man just doing what God had called him to do originally. Tell dreams. He had two major gifts, Joseph did. One, telling dreams, and another, administration. How did he have the gift of administration? Well, my land's alive. He bought back all the lands and gave the deeds back to Pharaoh at the end of the 14th year.
Yeah.
Gave them all back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't own the land, but he did when Joseph managed the crops that were stored up and bought. And they gave their lands for food to eat. And Moses took the deeds to all the lands and handed them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh owned the entire nation then. He never did before. The nobles owned the land. So Joseph had an incredible gift of administration. That doesn't seem like a glamour gift, like prophetic or preaching or singing great or music. It doesn't seem like a greater thing. But the administration caused him to gain trust. See, one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants through your life as you gain strength to do the work of God is that you gain the trust of those who listen to you by the Spirit. Do you want people to trust that you have the Spirit of Christ? Do you want them to trust that you're bringing a message that comes straight from the mouth of Almighty God? Yes, you do. Because as people begin to say, this woman, this man speaks by the mouth of God, that is very important to your life and your ministry and whatever you ever will do. Because it's almost like you picking up one end of a very heavy object and somebody else picking up the other end, and it makes it half as heavy.
Yes.
It cuts the weight down by half. And it's the same way that when people already, listen to this, when people already say, this woman, Jesus Christ, it says this man, Jesus, was approved by many signs and wonders and miracles. He was approved. Who approved him? The people that saw and the people that believed Jesus. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isn't that great? And so when the Lord Jesus came into a place, someone says, "I know this man. He's the Son of God." It's like, "I'm glad you told me. I would never have guessed it." But he was, and he is the Son of God. And so half the battle of your credibility is that you walk with God and people see that. And they saw Peter, James, and John and said, they had this testimony, and they said, did not we see them with him, Jesus? See? And so therefore they identified him with Jesus because, guess what? I like this. Because the Spirit of Jesus, our Lord, was inside of them operating. On a rudimentary level at the time when they were first walking with the Lord, but later on it wasn't rudimentary. It wasn't elementary. It was powerful. That's why we see a word creeping into the Bible over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And that is the word power. And that is the word strength. If you and I were to look up in a lexicon or a dictionary, a biblical dictionary, we would probably find out that the word power, the word strength, was mentioned repeatedly over and over and over and over and over again. See? Be strong in the Lord. Wait a minute. Don't just be strong. but be strong in the Lord. See? And so then you walk in a room and someone says, I'm too weak. I'm so weak I can't hold my head up. And then you come in and you're made strong in the Spirit of God. And then you make them strong by your prayer, by the prophetic strength word that you give them. You impart strength to the weak. See? And to the feeble-minded and the feeble-hearted, you impart strength by carrying them a clear-cut message straight from the mouth of God. That just brightens their soul, you see. So what's the third one? We'll go on.
The third one, excuse me, knowing whatever place you've been, God has been there before you, strengthens your faith that he will be there in every circumstance.
I like that. I like that. So, by the way, these are seven strengths of God, how God strengthens us to serve him, strengthens us to walk with him more dearly, more clearly, more nearly, more perfectly, whatever, the strength to do so. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote a book 50 years ago or better, at least that, 60 years ago. And it had this title. Does anybody recognize this title from Martin Luther King Jr.? It was Strength to Love. So Google it sometime, ML King Jr., and look up Strength to Love. And what he was saying was, you can't love without strength to love. You can't love, and you won't be, hold it now, you won't be strengthened to love if your love is a selfish love. You won't be strengthened by God to anything that has to do with the flesh or has to do with something that only adds to you and doesn't give to you so that you can turn and powerfully, by the power of God, give it to someone else. So, strength to love. Great title, wasn't it? Strength to love. Strength to forgive. So, let's take a little side issue right here. Strength to love. Strength to prophesy. Strength to speak the truth of God in the face of great adversity. How about Acts? What about the book of Acts when Stephen said, you... And he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees. You took with cruel hands and you crucified the Son of God. Man, he got in their face and called them everything but a green person. Said, you crucified the Son of God. And man, they came under such conviction. The Bible says they ran on him and started gnashing on him with their teeth. They were under such a conviction because the Holy Spirit was speaking through Stephen and bringing an incredible conviction for their evil and sick stuff. And God gave him strength to speak that, knowing that he was about to die at their hands. He had the strength to speak the truth in the face of his impending death. That's strength, isn't it?
Yes.
Man, this is as good as it was last week. So, what was that again?
The what? The number three?
Yeah.
Knowing whatever place you've been, God has been there before you, strengthens the faith to believe that he'll always be there. Also,
isn't that good? Isn't that rich? Mm-hmm. Oh, my landslide, we need to write that down. Wait, you did write that down. Knowing that, believing that wherever your journey has been up till now, the Lord has been there with you ahead of time. You say, but there were times in my journey when I did not deserve the Lord to be here. But don't you, let me show you what. Don't you understand that in our journey, when we didn't feel we deserved the Lord to be there, it's the knowledge that he was there that strengthens our appreciation for him. You should have killed me. I was so lost, I should have died. Remember that one? But you have draw me to your side. Remember that one? Yeah. I was so lost, I should have died. But knowing that God was there, and God did not come down with a hammer of an executioner, but rather demonstrated, without our knowing it, showed us mercy in the midst of our weakness and failure. God gave us mercy when we wouldn't even give mercy to ourselves. Do you understand? That makes God much greater than we, doesn't it? It makes God much greater than I am. There's some places I would not give mercy, but God gives mercy because He is the greatest merciful God of all the universe. There is no greater mercy shown from anyone but from God Almighty. Thank God for that. Thank God for that.
Amen.
So knowing that He has been there, even though at the time we might not know it, I've oftentimes looked back and seen that on my lens of life, God was there. God was there. Standing somewhere in the shadows, we'll find Jesus and we'll know Him by the nail prints in His hands. He was there. He had the nail prints in His hand when I needed Him to deliver me. By those wounds He bore my sins because He took those wounds upon Himself.
Huh.
And my sins became to Him a wound to me. And so He brought healing power through the oil of His anointing. And through the blood of the Lamb, He brought and He cleansed and healed the wounds of my own sin upon myself. Are you listening?
Yep.
When I could not rectify the sin that I had done, He came and in His great mercy and His great love, healed the wound of my wounded spirit. And then later on, I looked back and said, oh, you were there, weren't you, Lord? That's why I didn't die. Even if you don't even have anything to associate it with tonight, you should be able to look toward heaven and say, oh, my land's alive. I should have died. I just should have died back there. But then I want you to look toward heaven, you look in the face of God and say, it was your great mercy is the reason I did not die. I did not die in my sins. It was your great mercy. You see, and how much greater is His mercy year after year after year when we realize that He was there all the time. All the time. Not to condemn, but to demonstrate mercy on us then, so that in the days coming up, when we need Him to be there, we will believe and expect Him to be there. You see? Someone will say, this is the worst situation we've ever had. And someone in the crowd who knows what I've just said and believes it will say, the Lord's on His way. The Lord will be here soon to deliver us from this evil. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
I like some nut stand up in the crowd and say that. Hey, rest of you, hush your mouth because God's on His way. He's on His way from heaven. He sent the word out of heaven and He healed my disease. He came and He brought me peace and joy when I didn't have a chance of having peace and joy. I couldn't get it by my own efforts, but He bought and paid for it with His blood. And because He bought and paid for it, it's precious to Him. You understand? It's precious to God to make use of His blood and make use of His mercy on us. And to show and demonstrate His mercy, that's important to God, that we see Him in that light of His love. Okay, what's number four? Or have we gotten four yet?
Number four, you are strengthened in knowing the truths of His word.
I like that. You're strengthened in knowing the truths of His word. You know why? Because the truths of His word supersede. What does supersede mean?
Surpass.
It surpasses and goes above. Supersede goes above. It's higher than. The truth of His word is higher than any untruth that is being presented in the atmosphere. You walk in the room with a word from God, and the Bible says, let every mouth be shut, let every man be a liar, and let God be the truth here. Isn't that good? Woo! That makes me want to shout in three different languages. How do you shout in three different languages? Do you understand? So you bring a word from God, and in the speaking of that word, God sends out a power and suppresses every evil, lying spirit and lying word so that the truth of God may show forth where you are. And because you've come to bring that word, power comes with it to set the captive free. I like that. Don't you? The next strength of God is in singing your song. You have a song? Sing it. You see? And do you remember the story I attached to that? Ira David Sankey. Last week, how he sang in one of the revival meetings he and D.L. Moody was in, and how the guy says, "I remember you. I know you. I heard that voice before." And he was a sharpshooter from the South and had raised his rifle across the Potomac to kill Ira David Sankey, and Sankey began to sing. "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care." He said, "I saw him, and I was powerless, paralyzed to shoot him. Dropped my weapon." Because he sang the songs of God. He sang the songs that God gave him to sing. So you're talking about the importance of praise and worship. Don't ever stop singing the songs of God.
Hallelujah.
Sing them, sing them, sing them, sing them, sing them. Because in the singing of the songs of God, you put the devil's power and his forces to flight. They cannot stand to hear the salvation story. They cannot stand to hear the testimony of God's faithfulness. They cannot stand it. It absolutely tortures and torments the demonic. So sing your song.
Yes.
Keep on singing your song. Never stop singing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So you're strengthened in your song. You know? And encourage others to sing. Laugh. You're strengthening your song. You're strengthening your joy. Did I do that as a separate entity, the joy? Of course, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We all know that one. But what was the next one besides singing your song?
You're strengthened through praying your prayer. And it is a gift from God to the person you're praying for and strengthens.
Oh, I remember that last week. I remember that. You are strengthened by praying the prayer that God has you to pray. You understand? For every person, there's a gift waiting to be discharged. And you may very well be the one that will discharge that gift. And the Lord spoke to me about a week or two ago, and he said, every time you pray for someone, you're giving a gift for that prayer. Every time you really successfully pray a prayer for someone, there's a gift that goes with it. See? And of course, that's really not hard to fathom.
Right.
The many times that you or I have prayed for people and there's been an amazing healing. Dealing with a man right now who was within maybe a couple of weeks of being dead, and one prayer sheltered him from the power of Satan and delivered him from the power of the death that was in the disease that he had in one simple prayer about 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago. And so therefore, it is impossible for you to pray, really pray for someone without giving them in that prayer a gift. You have something. And here's how the scripture says it. And the apostle says, I pray God that I may come to you soon. Ready for this? And then he goes on to say, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. So that I can impart to you some spiritual gift. Gift from where? Every good and perfect gift coming from the Father. So that I might bestow upon you some gift of God. Isn't that great? The
mm-hmm.
only reason I want to come to see you is because I got something to give you, man. Lady, I got something to pour out on you. And if it's a prayer, you'll get healed by that prayer. If it's a word from God, you'll get set free from a word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting the power of Satan off you and bringing the power of God down on you in his glory and in your joy. You have come to give them a gift. Do you understand? You have come to give them a gift. So don't leave until you discharge the gift.
Ah.
Don't give up until the gift has been sent and given. What does that say to you? What does that say to somebody here?
Persevere.
It says perseverance. It says perseverance.
Don't be afraid to step out.
Step out boldly. That's right, without fear.
To not let them get away without what the Lord has for them.
That's good, isn't it?
Yes.
That's good that you have a gift to give. Go give it. And God's Spirit will witness to you when you have given the gift, and you'll be done for then.
And he won't leave you alone till you do.
I like that. He won't leave you alone. He won't. He's persistent in that. So there we have, sing your song for the Lord. Pray your prayer. Because in the giving of prayer for someone, you're actually giving them something tangible that they may not even know they're being given. You know? In deliverance. I love deliverance. Oh, my land's alive. I love it when I walk in a room or go somewhere or somebody comes and sits in my living room here and they are bound. And I'm going, oh, Lord Jesus, how'd they get bound by that demon? I said, oh, Lord, how do they pick that thing up? In a little while, I'll ask a simple question. You want to be free? You want to be free right now? How about tonight? Do you want to be now? I'm not going to force you. Do you want to? And they'll say, yes, I really do. And so immediately I have them confess. Open your mouth then and confess. I confess Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. That's a pretty good door opener, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and that Jesus' blood has washed away all my sins. Can you beat that for a confession? Then the devil starts sweating like buckets of sweat coming to him going, oh, they're getting too close to what I've been doing to him. Too close to the truth. See, and the devil can't stand the truth because he's the father of lies, so he can't stand you to speak that kind of truth. Then you say, repeat after me, I confess that Jesus Christ is my divine healer. I confess that Jesus heals me from all my infirmities. And then you like the third confession. But it's threefold prayer, by the way. I use in a couple of my books I've written somewhere out there. And the third one is, I confess that Jesus Christ has delivered me from all the power of Satan. Mm-hmm. He did it 2,000 years ago when he did when he did a perfect work at Calvary's Mount. He didn't do a partial work. He did a perfect work. See, God doesn't deal in partialities. God deals in perfection. Isn't that beautiful? He did a perfect work, and that perfect work has given and keeps on giving down through the centuries until the curtain comes down on time. He did a perfect work. See, I confess that Jesus Christ delivers me from all the power of the devil. In Jesus' name. See? And by the time you got them confessing, about halfway through that, things are starting to cut loose and things are starting to turn loose. And then, and it's unreal how people walk out of this house and say, I've never been this free in my entire life. And I'm saying, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You ready for this? Repeat this after me. You did it again.
You did it again.
See, great is thy faithfulness. Go back to the worst day on the worst day of this past year in your life. And looking back on it now, say, you gave me strength for that day and you gave me bright hope for tomorrow. So you gave me strength for that day and you now give me bright hope for tomorrow. Come on. Come on. I remember a night when Ray and I were praying. I won't tell you why. But he had somebody very dear in his life that was desperately near death. Threatened by death. And God brought him through by his mercy and grace. Isn't that good? And so what we do is we look back on the worst day of our life and we have to make the declaration, God was there. And God was there faithful. Mm-hmm. And because he was there faithful about the third one of these that we did a while ago, because he was there faithful then, he will show up again in any other dark hour of my life. And he will be faithful again. You understand you get to learn the lessons of God's faithfulness. And someone says, you should be discouraged. You should be out of your brains with fear and discouragement. And you say, I'll not go there. Mm-hmm. Because God has been faithful. And God will once again be faithful to me in the hour that I need him. He will show up again. He will be there again when I need him the most. Isn't that good? Really, seriously.
Yep.
I can say that. I can say that for my own life. When all hope was gone and there was not one word of hope on the earth, then a word of hope and a bright hope for tomorrow came out of heaven. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Bright hope. Not just, well, I hope things get better. No, bright hope. The brightness of Jesus. The hope of glory. See? Isn't that good? And we experience the worst things in this world, and can't nobody ever survive that. And God says, you did, and you will. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, I love it. I love it. It makes me go crazy when I do this. And he said, Peter, the devil's come to scramble your brains. That's what he told him. The Spanish call it sesos desvanecidos. Scrambled brains. Desvanecidos sesos. And he said, he's come to desvanecido your sesos. He's come to rip your brain apart and absolutely blow your mind, drive you mentally insane. Okay? Jesus comes to announce him. Says, the Bible says, Jesus came to Peter and said, Peter, the devil's decided to scramble your brains. He's decided to blow your mind. And then all he says is this little simple phrase. You got to understand this. I'm beautiful. He said, but I prayed for you to the Father. This is the intercessing Jesus. It's like, I'd rather have him praying for me than a thousand saints. You got it? But I have chosen to pray for you. I've carried you before the Father in prayer. I've held you up to my Father in prayers, Peter, so that your faith won't drain out of you. So that your faith won't run out like a hole in the bottom of the barrel. Just wake up in the morning, it's empty. What happened? You see this little hole, then it all leaked out in the hole during the night. But Satan has decided to destroy you and scramble your brains. But I stood before the Father and prayed on your behalf, speaking your name aloud before God. Uh-oh. You mean you talk to God about me? Yes. You, little old you. And he said, I prayed to God that your faith won't run out. That it won't drain out of your barrel. That in the middle of the worst thing in your life, you will find the greatest strength of your life. And in the next time that you come to a test as severe or not near as severe, but almost as severe, you will look again to seek where the Father is, because you will know that he will be there, because he said he is a very present help in time of trouble. See, that's why we hide that word in our heart, because that word comes back to cradle us. That word comes back to boost us up. That word comes back to strengthen us in an hour where there is no strength anywhere except the strength that comes from God to you. Because you have named the name of his son Jesus as your Lord, your Savior, your Deliverer, your Healer. Good words, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. I've prayed for you that your faith will not run out. Now, wait a minute. The Lord Jesus reminds me of the Apostle Paul. Well, the Apostle Paul reminds me of the Lord Jesus. I'd probably be better to say that. Because the Lord Jesus said, now watch this. Then he spoke prophetically. Here was the prophetic. He said, and when you come through this trial, when you do come through this tough time, he didn't say if you do. He said, but when you do come through this trial, you will then turn and strengthen the faith of your brothers and your sisters. See how that it always goes from Jesus' selflessness to a selfless lesson he teaches us. That it is better for you to strengthen the faith of your brothers and sisters than to try to strengthen your own faith. Because it's in strengthening the faith of someone else that you are, because what you sow, you reap. If you sow strength to your brothers and sisters, you're going to reap strength because that's what you sow. So strength will come back to you. Isn't that great? Yes. Hallelujah!
That was number seven.
That was number seven. Did we already do six?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, that was number seven. Let's hear it again. Yeah. You strengthen them? Oh,
you
I forgot.
You are strengthened when you give hope to other people. The love of God is poured out in their hearts through giving a word from God. With that hope comes strength, and hope strengthens them as well. Yeah. To be able to believe God.
Isn't that good? To be able to... Every time I hear that word, to be able to believe God, do you know what I think about Kelly Giacone? I think about you'll have strength to embrace God. When you embrace someone, it really shouts something to that person. Every once in a while, I'm not forceful about it, but I'll put my arm around somebody, or I'll embrace someone in a godly way.
And I don't know what people think about it, but I really believe when you really embrace someone in the spirit of Christ, that's when they needed to be embraced. You see? And when you say tender words of love and nourishment and healing to people, that's when you strengthen them, and by strengthening someone else, you will. And so Jesus said, and when you come through this trial, the difficult time you're going through now, you will turn and strengthen the faith of your brothers and sisters. You will strengthen their faith. So I like that term, strengthen my faith. Say that. Say it to the Father, strengthen our faith.
Strengthen our faith.
May our faith never run out. Because we have a hope in you. In a dark time, you will be there again. As you have been before. That's a continuity of trust in God, isn't it?
Yep.
That God is the God who will be there again as He's been there before. Ooh, I like that phrase, don't you?
Yes.
He will be there again as He has been there before. What a great night in the Lord. What a great strength. Harley, what you got to say?
They followed a star.
Yeah.
Well, this is not a new lesson, but you've told us, you know, that when we pray for others, it releases God to work on our behalf in whatever ways we need it.
Good word, isn't it?
Thanks for listening to The Outpouring with Dr. David Jefferies. For more information, visit his website at drdavidjefferies.com. And that is spelled DrDavidJefferies.com. I'm Harley Cannon.